League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And we are back.
Yes, feels like it's been a long time. It's just been a week, right?
You just missed everybody.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you had a busy week. You were out on the West Coast this week.
Crazy busy.
You were at the Schwab Conference?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was different than the environment I'm used to being in every day.
How so?
It was very... First of all, there were a lot of people.
Okay.
Like...
What kind of people?
I think 3,000 people.
Wow, what kind of 3,000 people?
Financial services professionals. Okay. I know what you're trying to get me to say. It was largely attended by white men. Because that's who is the prominent demographic in our industry.
I never would have guessed that.
But it was, what was really fascinating was others' fascination with the fact that I'm an advisor.
Really? Tell me some like stories of how these people.
People, yes.
Had these, I won't even call them microaggressions. Would you call them microaggressions? Or do you think it's just stupidity?
It's ignorance.
Episodes of ignorance.
It's ignorance. Episodes of ignorance because this is not what they see.
Okay. So give me some examples.
Typical scenario, a breakfast or lunch, large convention center.
Yeah.
And you sit down and people ask if they can sit there. And we're all wearing name badges. Mm-hmm. And it might go something like, Momentum Advisors, where are you based?
Mm-hmm.
New York City?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you live in the city? No, so on and so forth. Well, what do you do there? What is your role? I'm an advisor. Oh, the head tilt and the oh.
Mm.
It's the fascination because I feel like most of the industry has never seen a black female financial advisor.
That's crazy.
That's not what I give, I guess. As the young people say, it's giving whatever. I don't give financial advisor with my braids and my hoop earrings.
I don't know if I give financial advisor, to be honest.
Well, your face was all over the convention center because
crazy.
You've been in Schwab ads. So
somebody said I did a $0 NIL deal with Schwab.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But your face was all over some of their ads.
Apparently, I have a contract extension. I told my team, I'm like, I think I got 8 million wave caps over 8 years.
Whatever, man.
Yeah.
It was, it was a nice petty flex to when, you know, you meet a guy that says, oh, hey, fun fact, you know, one of those banners upstairs, that's my mug on it. And I go, oh, how cool. You see that face right there on that wall? That's the founding partner of my firm.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was having a little fun.
Yeah. And just for the listeners who don't know, I guess it was like 3 years ago, Schwab, which is one of the banks where we keep our assets for clients, they decided to put us in their ads. And
they decided to put you in their ads.
Yes. And it started because I was complaining about stuff left and right. And I was literally threatening to move our business to another bank. And they were doing all the things to try to keep our business, including, hey, how about this?
Ah.
And
that's how
how it came about.
So well, you could
see
tell
me in these commercials. The funny thing is, a lot of people think I work for Schwab. They see these things.
Yeah.
Like people I went to college with, like, hey, so how is it working at Schwab? Like, I don't work at Schwab.
I get that too. And I quickly say, actually, Schwab works for us.
Yeah.
Like, we pay them to maintain custody of our client assets.
That's it.
And give us the cybersecurity and all the other resources that we wouldn't want to have to hire people to do for us.
That's it.
So we hire them.
Yeah. So you were at a conference. I was dealing with a canine medical emergency all week. My dog is like sick as heck.
Did you stop giving him Indian food?
So the Indian food was how we were masking his medicine. Mm. We would put the medicine in the Indian food. Well, the medicine stopped working. So we went back to the doctor. They gave more of the same medicine in higher doses. That worked for a while. It's no longer working. We then added another medicine that's not working. And my dog is struggling. You know, like he's had, like last week, he had a couple days where he was having 3 and 4 seizures a day.
Oh, no.
Where initially it was like one every couple of days.
Is there a diagnosis?
Don't know. But we're now being told like, yeah, we might need to
put him down.
Yeah. Like this is like escalating so fast. And like he's hurting right now. Like he's not himself. He's peeing all over the house, which hasn't happened in 10 years. Like he's only 10. He's not an old dog.
Yeah.
You know, but I can tell he's suffering. And it's like you can see in his eyes he's not the same dog. And we're dealing with that tough decision right now. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. My dog has had a good life though. My dog is like, he's enjoyed a lot of Jamaican food, Indian food, all kinds of food.
And you sure that's not part of the problem?
You know how black dogs are. They eat a derivative of what we eat. So, yeah, I'm okay.
Ethnic dogs now. We have cultural dogs. I don't know that we have.
Black people dogs is what I'm talking about here. So, you know, he's my first dog. He's my only dog I've ever had. And it's tough. But, you know, I now understand what people deal with when it goes through the loss of a pet. I've always been like, hey, I'm sorry to hear that. But, like, now I really know. It feels like your family member is...
Who is dying. Taking it the hardest?
Well, the thing is, like, the it's not going to hit everybody until the dog is no longer here, you know? Because right now we're just dealing with the symptoms of whatever's wrong with them, you know, the pee, the poop, the, you know, the convulsions and seizures.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, like, my wife is the one that shared the news and she was pretty broken up about it. So big shout to Cookie, chocolate chip Cookie. Hope he makes a recovery. Keep him in your prayers.
A boy dog named Cookie.
Chocolate chip Cookie.
Unisex name.
Yeah.
Got
so,
it.
So kids named him. That's what they wanted. He was a black dog with some brown spots and reminding them of a cookie, I suppose.
Makes sense.
This was pre, what was the show where with Cookie Lyons and Lucius Lyons?
Not Power. Oh, geez.
Yeah, pre that show.
Empire.
Yeah, pre-Empire. You're always good with the pop culture. So, other news this week. Cryptocurrency.
Crazy rally.
There's like a cryptomania going on right now. And I kind of like it. Like, I'm here for it.
Mania suggests crazy, though.
I know, but like, here's the thing. We're teetering on $100,000 per Bitcoin right now. We did a show on the crypto collapse in 2022. At that point, crypto had gone from 60K down to 16K. Mm-hmm. And what we were telling folks at the time was, this is part of the ride with cryptocurrency. It is volatile. It will probably go up over time, but you're going to have periods of time where it's way down. Well, right now it's way up. Like, it's all the way up. So we went from, like, in just 2022, we went from 16K to almost 100K. And so I figured we should talk about it again. Like, we talked about it at the time. One of the things that was happening was, you know, FTX was collapsing and, you know, there was a lot of folks who were worried about crypto. And now everyone's excited again. And so what I mean when I say I'm here for it, there are changes afoot. There's regulatory changes.
Yeah.
There's new ways to access cryptocurrency that I think will bring more attention to the space. And so I'm like, yo, let's talk about it. I'm here for it.
Absolutely.
In that way.
I'm getting calls, texts, questions from clients and just people in general, as we always do, about, hey, are we buying? What do you think about this? Do you think the world is moving towards this currency? I'm like, I can answer that, but not 11 o'clock on a Sunday night in a text message.
It's interesting.
If you're listening and you're the one who sent that message, I love you, but
it's interesting you said that. Is the world moving towards cryptocurrency? Let me give you some stats. Globally, 562 million people own cryptocurrency. And I think there's what, like 7 billion people? 6 billion people?
That's still a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. That's a 34% increase. It's about 7% of the world's population. But in the US, 93 million people own cryptocurrency, 40% of adults, and that's up from 30%. And then, you know, we got to break it down by gender and race. 70% of cryptocurrency owners are men. The majority of cryptocurrencies are high income earners. But here's an interesting stat. In 2023, Black users were almost two times more likely than white users to say that they first invested in cryptocurrency the year before. So we are leading the growth in the new investors,
right,
of cryptocurrency.
That's interesting, because just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the hope trade and what that looks like in terms of low income or low asset people in poverty being more likely to buy lottery tickets because they're looking for a differentiator.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, this tracks with that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of cryptos out there. There's 13,217 cryptocurrencies out there. And out of those, there's a bunch of dead ones. I guess a dead one has no volume, like it was created, but no one owns it hardly. There's 8,985 active ones. So to put that in perspective, we mentioned about 13,000 cryptocurrencies. There's only 10,000 stocks.
Yeah.
So there are more cryptocurrencies than there are stocks. And in that number, I'm sure there's some dead stocks in there too.
There's
penny
but
stocks.
Sure, sure. But if by dead, if we define dead crypto as not a lot of volume, would that make it more valuable because there's more demand for it?
No, I mean, the dead ones have no, there's value. No money in it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're okay.
Less than a penny. I don't know.
I'm
but either way.
Overthinking.
The size of the global crypto market is about $3.3 trillion with the T, like you always like to say.
Mm-hmm.
The stock market's like $40 trillion. So the stock market, all right, so think about it like this. There's more cryptos, but less market cap. So there's a lot of small ones.
Yes.
In fact, the market is so like lumpy. The biggest two represent 72% of the whole market. So Bitcoin, 59, almost 60% of the cryptocurrency market cap. The next biggest one is Ethereum.
Yes.
Which is 12%. And then the other, what would that be? 13,215.
Miscellaneous.
Yeah, that represents 28% of the world market cap in cryptocurrency. So there's a bunch of them. Bitcoin, Ethereum, those are the big ones. And the rest of them are known as altcoins. They're alternatives to the big two.
Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous. And the big four, so just to round out the list, it's Bitcoin, Ethereum, Tether, and Solana. Mm. So we did a show a while back on what is a cryptocurrency. We can walk through that really quickly.
Refresher of sorts.
Yeah, we'll refresh it real quick. So what's a cryptocurrency? Number one, a cryptocurrency is any type of decentralized digital currency that's based on cryptography. And what does that mean? I'm going to break down each one. So decentralized simply means it's not issued by a central bank the way the dollar is, the euro, the yen. Digital simply means that it's computerized. It is traded in a digital format. It's not physical. That's what you mean by digital. And encrypted simply means that there's a mathematical technique used to encrypt each of these tokens, each of these units. They're encrypted. Other things about crypto, they're fractionalized. And that means that you can buy a fraction of one. Like you don't have to buy one. Like
right.
one
like
Bitcoin today.
Shares.
Yeah, one Bitcoin today is $100,000. Like you could buy $5 worth.
Right.
And then finally, most crypto exists on a blockchain platform. And blockchain is a digital ledger that is distributed, meaning like it's not all housed on one computer. It's housed on everybody's computer. Not everybody, but everyone that's a part of the mining rig.
That's the uncomfortable part for me.
Why is that?
It feels like it's, so this is my inner accountant coming out, right?
Okay.
Like, how do you keep up with that? How do you track that?
But that's the beauty of it. It tracks itself, really. Like,
really?
You got the BS face on. Basically, these transaction records are broken into small pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have one fragment on your computer. I might have one fragment on mine. Someone else might have another fragment on theirs. And the system works because in order to, quote unquote, mine Bitcoin, the computers are basically able to look across all these different computers and piece together the transaction ledger of what actually happened, which makes it immutable, means it can't be changed, because how can I change it if it's on 25 different or 1,000 different computers in small fragments?
That's fine. I get it from a technology perspective that one unit can't be copied. Mm-hmm. It's the tracking that's a problem for me. Like, I want to know exactly.
An audit record.
Yeah. Like a trail. I want to see how my one fractional ownership unit, I don't even know what to call it, right? How does that fit in with all the ones that exist today?
Yeah.
How can I confirm that it's all?
Yeah. Then I got an idea for you. I think you probably want US dollars. I think you want a centralized currency.
I mean, some regulation and oversight would be nice.
And that's the thing. So like the news this year about Bitcoin, I mean, the reason why it's hitting 100,000 is that Trump won. And one of the winners in the financial market is cryptocurrency. Why is that? Regulation. So when we look at cryptocurrency, one of the biggest issues that's been kind of keeping it back has been regulation. So ironically, one of Trump's first things on day one he said he was going to do was fire the head of the SEC, Gary Gensler.
Yes.
And what happened yesterday?
Gary Gensler got fired?
Gary resigned.
Or he resigned. He resigned.
It's so petty. It's like Gary was like,
you ain't firing me. I'm resigning.
Yeah, I'm going to quit first.
Yes.
It's akin to like, you know, you think your girlfriend's going to break up with you, so you break up with her first. Just so you can have like the bragging right there.
Well, you said
break
it.
Up with me.
You can't kiss all the girls, so...
So old Gary quit, because Gary was like one of these folks in the government that was kind of holding cryptocurrency back.
Fair. What's interesting, though, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it Trump that said some years ago, he was a little skeptical about it?
Oh, but he can change his mind on stuff.
Of course. But only he can change his mind on stuff.
Yeah. I want to read a quote from Gary Gensler, though. All right. He said, the fight will continue. Like, this is stuff he was saying, like, earlier this year. And I'm not making fun of Gary Gensler. I'm just making up the point that, you know, he was really against the progress of this one thing in cryptocurrency. And again, this is not me praising Trump for getting rid of this guy. I'm just saying, like, this is the attitude that he had, which results in the regulations or lack thereof or the strictness of what resulted. So he said, and the backstory to this is that in January of this year, Bitcoin ETFs launched, which really opened it up for retirement accounts, for brokerage accounts, really for any big financial pool of money, whether it be a pension plan, a 401k plan. Like, it opened it up for a lot of different folks to be able to buy. And he said, look, the fight will continue. And just because we approve those ETFs, it doesn't mean that we're willing to approve other stuff. It doesn't mean that we're willing to approve other crypto asset securities, nor does our approval signal anything about our view about the status of cryptocurrencies and the federal laws and blah, blah, blah. And so he was like trying to stop progress a little bit.
He sounds like we gave an inch. Now y'all doing too much.
Yeah. And so my man, here's the funny thing though, like he could have quit and be gone like by the end of the month. When's his last day?
I don't know.
No, just guess. When is his last day?
January 20th.
Yes! That's like the epitome of like, yo, you ain't fired me, I quit.
Right, yeah.
On the day that Trump gets inaugurated, Gary Gensler
is gone. For a second time, yeah.
So we're talking about cryptomania. We're breaking it down. We're not telling you to go out and buy it. We're just telling you what's going on.
I'm going to give you some cautions, though.
I like that. That's because you're not only the fun sponge, today you are the chief cynical officer of Momentum Advisors Podcast.
Okay. Fine.
So keep listening. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
Every business has an ambition, PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Momentum.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Got my CCO on the mic.
Chief Cynical Officer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm often in that position, but today.
Yeah, I'm like, that's why I'm like, why is this a thing?
Yeah. And yeah. I'm not like the biggest Bitcoin proponent. I mean, I've owned it probably since 2016.
Like you have a wallet or you own it in the form of marketable securities?
No, I've like owned it, to it through Coinbase.
Okay.
Which is a hot wallet, I guess, versus a cold wallet. Like it's a place where they will hold it for you.
Have you used it for transactions?
Absolutely not. Yeah. I've given it away for Christmas presents before. Yeah. Yeah, I gave it away because I wanted folks to experience what it felt like to own it, to be a part of it.
How do you give it away?
You can just like text it to somebody or email it to them. I think you just need their email address and you could send it to them.
And then they own it where?
In Coinbase.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated.
Yeah, it's been a while. I forget how. I don't think I needed their social security number or anything like that. I think I just needed their contact info.
Did you in order to open the account?
No, it's not.
It's not like that.
I'm curious as to how I did this, but back when I was on SiriusXM with Tiffany, we gifted it to all the SiriusXM staffers that we interacted with.
Okay.
And we did it at a time when crypto had rallied a bunch, but was selling off again. And people were like, oh, it's BS. We're like, everybody should just get their toes wet with it.
It's like buying a lottery. Some employers buy lottery tickets for their employees and like, hey, here's a chance.
Yeah. We gave away like $100 at a time. And this would have been when Bitcoin was probably around 20,000. So what's crazy, that's like $500 today.
Yeah.
So I don't know if folks held on to it. I don't know. But yeah, I'm probably, my cost basis on Bitcoin, although I only bought like less than 5,000 worth, I probably paid like 12 to 15,000 per. And now it's at 100,000. I mean, I didn't buy 15,000 worth. I mean, the price of it.
$12,000 to $15,000
was the price of the coin when I bought my fractional piece.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
And now it's worth 100K. So I'm not a millionaire because of this. Right. Like, it's almost like a stock that went up.
Sure.
5,000%. You know what I mean? Like, I look at NVIDIA, a stock that a lot of us own, like, it's up over 200% this year.
Yes.
You know, so cryptocurrencies are up. So here's the thing about stocks, though. They're very different than cryptocurrencies. And this is what has been my biggest challenge with cryptos this entire time, because this stuff is not new. Like, Bitcoin dropped in 2009, but folks didn't hear about it till probably almost 10 years later.
I certainly don't remember knowing about it in 2009.
Yeah.
I was aware that it had been around longer than most of us are talking about it, but I didn't realize it was that far back.
So here's my struggle with Bitcoin, right? So when it's a stock, there's a company, and that company is out selling goods and services, and they're trying to make a profit, and I can analyze it, right? Because I can look at the story of what the company's doing. I can look at the valuation based on how much they're earning in profits. I can maybe forecast how much the profits will be in the future. And then I can determine whether I want to buy that stock or not. Eventually, I'll get a dividend from that stock. Crypto is not the same. Like even a bond, like I could value a bond by looking at the cash flow of the company or the government issuer. I can look at the interest rate that I get. But like crypto is really just a digital store of value. It is not even though it's called a currency, like you said, like people aren't using cryptocurrency to buy groceries.
Right.
You could be foolish.
I cash apped my godson for his birthday. And I had the option to gift him Bitcoin. So I'm like.
So that's how I did it. Just like that.
Cash App.
It was like that. It was as simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll look into it. So, I just don't want like my social. I don't want my government information tied to it. Because then if the robots take over.
The robots.
Then they're going to clear out my regular.
Your regular
currency. That's literally my fear.
Yeah. So Coinbase, which is the platform that I use. Is a publicly traded company. That means it's got SEC filings. It itself is regulated. I mean, it's not FDIC backed or anything like that, but there are ways to interact with crypto in a regulated fashion.
Correct. And so I'm more likely to buy stock in Coinbase than I am to own a digital wallet.
What about one of the ETFs? Would you buy? You'd buy one of those?
Yeah.
Because you got regulations
I own one of the ETFs. Okay. Or do I still?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think I do.
So here's how you value Bitcoin. It's really about supply and demand and the fact that it is scarce. So the way Bitcoin works, there's a finite supply of the coins. There will only ever be, the max is 21 million. And they're basically being produced every year. More and more are getting kind of released into the market. But by 2140, which is a long time from now, that's more than 100 years from now, I'm pretty sure none of us listening will be alive at that point. By 2140, there will be no more issuance of Bitcoin, which means eventually there could be no more supply, which could push the price way up.
So with so many more people getting into it, is there a chance that the finite number of coins that will get there quicker than 2140 or whatever year that is?
Yeah, it's a projection, the 2140. It's not like right. 2140 is when we get to the max. It's like the one thing that's definitely defined is that there's 21 million and that's the max.
Right.
Folks are basically looking at how many are being mined annually and doing a projection as to how long before they run out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it could happen sooner.
Right.
Which would mean that's upward price pressure if the supply gets completely truncated a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Bitcoin, like nobody's in charge of it. Like the
right.
person that invented it under a pseudonym, like a fake name.
Mm-hmm.
And
we don't know who he or she.
Yeah. So the thing about Bitcoin, nobody's in charge of it. Like it was invented by a person going by a pseudonym, Satoshi Yakamoto.
Nakamoto.
Thanks for correcting me.
Mm-hmm. Fun sponge.
It's a made up name. So, you know, I mixed in my own letters for it. But because nobody's in charge of it, like there's no telling when they'll run out. But it is defined that they've capped them at 21 million. Because again, this thing is designed to be decentralized, like not attached to a regulatory body. It's how it was designed.
Okay.
So going back to like the price. So supply is one factor. Other factors, regulations is a factor. So the view that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are on their way to looser regulations.
That's a real possibility.
That's a positive.
But can you get more loose than none?
I mean, there's some.
I mean.
There's some.
Okay.
But I think like right now, the government's attitude is very skeptical.
Yes.
Very like, let's stop progress. And the new regime is just more loose, more fluid.
Yeah, and I don't know that everyone is about stopping progress. Maybe it's more like, let's slow it down so that it doesn't get out of hand.
Fine. I'll accept that.
Maybe that's not Gary Gensler's position, but I think there's some more room for moderates.
Yeah, well, listen, the SEC is designed to make sure that investors don't get hurt.
Right.
And so maybe there's the fear that if we don't
I'm a moderate here.
Yeah, if we don't put up some roadblocks, then somebody's going to get hurt.
Yep.
So supply, regulation, publicity, right? Like this thing about publicity matters. Like we're reading about it more and more often. The more we're reading about it, the more taxi drivers are talking about it, the more, you know, young folks are interested in it.
Literally a topic across the conference, yeah. Whether it was structured sessions, or as you're saying, the rideshare driver or, you know, the hotel workers where I stayed were striking. So, you know, it's coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And then access, right? So like we talked earlier about January was the first time that true Bitcoin ETFs and cryptocurrency ETFs hit the market.
Yep.
And now they've got options on those Bitcoin ETFs.
Yes.
Like that's a real enticement for investors, is that they could buy them without opening up a Coinbase account or having a cold wallet or something like that. Or because those platforms don't have customer service like Coinbase does. But I mean, like these cold wallets, which are just like these, like, what would I call it? Like off the grid ways to own cryptocurrency where you really need that password. And if you forget the password, then you can't access your money.
Right.
Like.
Just even the phrase off the grid sounds shady.
Yeah. Well, for a long time, like this stuff was used for shady purposes. Because it can't be tracked.
Yeah.
So today I'll give you some of the top Bitcoin ETFs. Number one is iBit, which is owned by BlackRock. 41.6 billion in that. Next is Grayscale, 19.6 billion GBTC. You've got Fidelity Wise Origin Bitcoin Fund. And really the only real difference in these different funds is the fees.
Yes.
For real. Like the lowest cost one is the Franklin Bitcoin Fund, which charges 0.19%. The most expensive one is the Grayscale one, which costs 1.5%.
We know about that.
Yeah. And there's an old phrase that says in investing, you get what you don't pay for. So I might pick the one with the lowest fee. But I say the lowest fee, but also the most liquidity. Like you want to pick one where there's a good amount of trading volume because you don't want to get, you know, stuck holding the bag.
That's right. So we talked about the ETFs starting in January of 2024. Mm-hmm. We also have some developments just this month.
Yeah, the options on iBit, for example, that's the first ETF that has call options and put options. And it's been crazy. Like there have been, like folks are very, very bullish or optimistic about them. For every call option, I think for every three calls, which is a position that says I expect it to go up in value.
Right.
There's only one put or an option that says I'll expect it to go down in volume. And folks are out there wagering that Bitcoin will go up to more than $174,000 per.
Sounds good for the moderate centrist.
Yeah.
Skeptic that I've been described to be.
So other things that have happened this year, again, with the Trump election, with the view that cryptocurrencies are on their way to looser regulations. These altcoins are popping off too. And there's big volume increases in coins like Ripple, Tron, Cardano, and Solana.
I'm so 70s.
You hear Ripple, you think of the drink.
That's right. I'm like, listening to our young guys have a conversation about Ripple. I'm like, that has come back? Like, kids are drinking this now?
That's
again?
Funny.
Yeah.
Or you remember when Fred Sanford said he mixes his Ripple with champagne and calls it
Champipple.
That's funny.
For the culture, but I've never seen Ripple.
That's funny.
And my dad, my father, was a bartender in the non-commissioned officers club on the Army base. Mm. So he knows his drinks. Yeah. I've never seen Ripple.
I don't
Ripple.
Imagine Ripple is a high top shelf.
I would guess not. But like, drink. You know, I heard about 40s and I heard about these other things, champagne, like all the cheap stuff, but
yeah, you don't know
Ripple? Like, yeah.
Well, it's not, it's more than just something you can drink. You
I
can
know,
buy it.
I know.
Okay. All so right. I want to make a case for cryptocurrency.
Really okay. Quickly.
And then you can just hear me out.
I will
okay?
listen.
Just
I have an open
out.
Mind.
Okay. Number one, Bitcoin has been very, very volatile. But would you believe there are 33 stocks in the S&P 500 that are more volatile than Bitcoin?
I would believe that.
Bitcoin on average has a volatility number of 72%, and that's standard deviation. That, you know, mathematically means that, like, it's the, if I were drawing a bell curve, it's like the distance between the left and the right end of the bell curve.
Yes.
Right. So 72 is big, and that 72 means nothing unless you know what to compare it to. So bonds, which are the safest thing you can own, 6.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. So Bitcoin has a volatility of 72%. Bonds have a volatility of 6%. In the middle is stocks. Stocks have a volatility of around 20%. So yes, Bitcoin is like three to four times more volatile than stocks. But there are some stocks that are more volatile than Bitcoin.
Sure. And just for the record, the volatility doesn't scare me as much as the lack of oversight and regulation.
Mm, well, the vol scares me. Like, even though I'm making a case for it right now, like, it's
interesting.
Me. So over the last 2 years, for example, Netflix has had a volatility that's higher than Bitcoin.
That's facts.
That's crazy. Okay. Next. I wish I could show you this chart, but like, there's a chart that basically speaks to the fact that as new assets become more popular, the volatility just goes down over time. And right now we're getting to a point where the Bitcoin market cap is up to, it's in the trillions now. And as it grows, the vol has gone lower. Like, the volatility of Bitcoin used to be over 500%. It's now down to 72%.
So, that's huge.
Yeah, it's dropped a lot.
Mid triple digits to high double digits. That's a big swing.
Mm-hmm. And then you could look at gold as a comparative asset, right? It's like gold is one of those things that it's kind of like similar but dissimilar to Bitcoin. It's similar in that it's a store of value. It's similar in that I guess it could be used as a currency, although I doubt you're buying stuff with gold bricks.
Not today, but
it's, gold's also kind of decentralized because I could own it and you might not know about it, government. Right. The difference, though, is that gold's a physical asset, crypto's a digital asset. But I could show you the same chart that shows you from 1970 till today that gold used to have a volatility that was in the 80s and is now in the 10s. Meaning, like, over time, as more people buy it, as the market cap increases, the volatility tends to go lower. And the final thing I'll say before we go to break is that you've kind of been rewarded for the volatility. Because, like, for me, it's not just about the risk. It's also about the reward and the trade-off between risk and reward. And, like, one of those ratios that you use in financial world, it's the Sharpe ratio.
Yes.
Right? The Sharpe ratio speaks to the return in the numerator and the risk in the denominator. And you want the number to be as close to one as possible and maybe above one.
Yes.
The stock market has a Sharpe ratio of 0.65, Bitcoin 0.96, which means that the efficiency of how you earn a return per unit of risk is actually higher in Bitcoin than in the stock market.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting. I'll give you that.
Now, look, I know I'm giving you the high points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the low point is that vol hits different. Like I mentioned, Bitcoin going from 60,000 to 16,000. What's that in percentage terms? That's like down 70 or 80%.
Yes.
Like, if you had a stock down 70 or 80%, like, you would be concerned.
Absolutely.
If your stock was down 70 or 80% and you didn't know who the CEO was and there was no CEO, there were no products or services being sold, like, you might be a little upset. You might hit that sell button.
Might be a little tight.
And so that's the thing. So, like, while I am making a case for it, we should, after the break, give some constructive advice for, if you want to get involved, how to keep yourself from getting in trouble.
You know I'm here for that.
I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, pay later, and all major cards, so you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval and available locations.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Momentum.
Okay, we're back.
We are back.
Have I had too much fun on the positives of cryptocurrency?
No, you're good.
Okay. Rein me in now.
Let's rein you in.
Advice.
All right. Don't invest too much of your money.
Okay.
Or said another way, invest as much as you're willing to lose. The volatility is real. And a lot of people think they have a higher risk tolerance than they really do. Everyone has a high risk tolerance and is aggressive when things are rallying. Mm-hmm. But the minute things start to fall, that's when you really find out what you're made of.
That's a fact. So if you had to give someone in percentage terms, like a limit of how much is too much, what would you say? Just, I'm not holding you to it.
I know, because you know
I'm not telling you, the listener, to actually do this.
Because you know I'm going to say it depends. Like, what kind of money are we talking about? And when is it going to be used, right?
Okay, fine.
That's fine. I don't know how to not say that.
But what's too much?
More than 10% is too much.
I'd agree with that.
More than 10% is too much.
I'd say more than 5% is too much.
That's probably more realistic for the average person. But for the super aggressive person that's really okay and can afford to lose 10% where it won't factor into their lives at all, that's the max.
Yeah. Here's my thing. It's the idea that like you could lose money and not even understand what's going on. You could lose money and there's nobody to complain to. You could lose money and there's no regulator that's going to have your back.
Yeah.
So you want to be careful.
Yep.
So don't put too much in.
It's like gambling.
A little bit.
Like if you can't afford to lose it, then you might not want to use it.
On that note, my next point would be, I think you should have a time frame of at least 4 years. And I say that because it's a wild
presidential
ride.
Term.
Well, I mean, there's that. But like I'm looking at a chart where in 2021, Bitcoin hit 60,000. And then a year later, it was at 16.
Right.
If my time frame was like 1 or 2 years, I'd be like, forget Bitcoin. I'll never want to do this.
And you're not the only one. We have real clients who felt that way.
Yeah.
And maybe now they're like, eh. I'm like, yeah, but it's only 2 to 3% of your portfolio. Like,
yeah.
You can hang in there and it's like, nah, I don't want to do this. Yeah. Okay.
So before you buy it, just say, look, I'm not going to look at this for 4 years.
And I would say the same before you sell it. Because if you do, and you're hearing that it's crashing or it's falling down, you might get out too early and never see the benefit of holding on to it for a little while.
Yeah. Next, I think you want to think about how you get into it. Because we've given a few different options on how to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the riskiest way is a cold wallet. I wouldn't even know how to tell you to get into a cold wallet. But this is one of these things where you're putting your money into a platform that doesn't have customer service, that doesn't have any kind of regulations at all. And if you forget the password, then you lost your money.
Right. So knowing me, I'd most likely, if I went there at all with a wallet, I'm probably doing it for the purpose of gifting it to young people or whoever who would really want it and just to have it as an option.
But for you, it's a hot wallet. It'd be like a Coinbase. It's a like a custodian involved.
Mm-hmm.
Coinbase happens to be a publicly traded company. I mean, there's others. There's Robinhood. There's Cash App, as you mentioned. Like these are platforms that have regulations. I'm not saying they're the most highly regulated like a bank.
Yeah.
But at least you've got someone that you could complain to. If I forgot my password, there is a way to recover it with a hot wallet.
Yeah, my Cash App, if it's tied to my bank account, I'm probably not going to get Bitcoin exposure that way.
Fine. Okay. So then for that point, then think about doing it through your brokerage account. That way, you're not touching the stuff at all. You are buying a fund that trades on an exchange that really has you very far removed from the actual physical, or not physical, but the actual digital currency.
Yep.
And you can still participate in some of the gains. I will tell you, it's not dollar for dollar. Like, you'll see Bitcoin went up 100%. You might be up 70%.
Right.
Like, that's pretty good.
I'm okay.
Other ways to get involved, there's options. You could buy a call option or a put option.
I consider that.
To get involved. And then finally, you could just put money into the stock of a company that's making money in cryptocurrency, like buy the stock of Coinbase or Robinhood.
Just said it. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to get involved, but be thoughtful about how you get involved so that you know what the outcomes could possibly be. And understand that there's a lot of different ways to get involved.
I think that's overlooked. I think most people, when they say, are you buying Bitcoin? I think what they're really asking is, do you have a wallet?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that a layperson is thinking about other ways to get exposure to cryptocurrency.
Yeah. If you're looking at one of these different funds, like the ETFs we talk about, figure out what the fees are. Like, that really matters. Make sure you're not picking the most expensive version unless there's some really material reason why you want to be in that particular version.
I'd agree with that 100%.
Understand that there's not a lot of regulations, and those regulations differ from one country to the next. And maybe be mindful of that regulatory news. Maybe that's the thing that will get you further comfortable.
Ain't nobody paying attention to that.
Okay.
It's good advice, but we work with enough people to know what the trends are. Most people don't pay attention to regulatory news unless it's simple and clear and they feel like they all of a sudden can't do something that they feel like they should be able to do, or they feel like it's limiting or they're losing.
Yeah. And then the final thing I'll say is, like, pay attention to the technology. This blockchain technology is dope. This blockchain technology is actually just changing the world. Blockchain is this idea of a decentralized, public, open-ended software program that has a lot of different, I mean, it's a platform. It has a lot of different use cases. You could use the blockchain to replace every centralized database in the world eventually. It could replace the New York Stock Exchange. It could replace the credit bureaus, which are constantly getting hacked.
Man.
It could replace all these different credit card databases that also get hacked and leak your public information. Like, pay attention to the development of different blockchains, different smart contracts and different things that are really all tied to cryptocurrency. And maybe there's other ways to get involved. Maybe you're investing in a company that, again, is profiting from the blockchain without ever touching the cryptocurrency.
Sure. And it's like you said, these alternative methods to get exposure, it's not dollar for dollar. So you're not going to gain as much on the upside, but you also won't lose as much on the downside. And that might be a better path, a more comfortable path for the skeptics or the moderates like me who don't want to impede progress, but also don't want to get left behind.
Okay. So, not putting a gun to your head or anything like that, but are you more or less comfortable with cryptocurrency in your portfolio after this call? This podcast, I should say.
I'm about the same.
About the same?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm not trying to convince anyone to do anything, but
just
open your eyes. Like, there's an asset out there that, you know, it is not a safe haven in any way. Like, in times when there's turmoil in the world, crypto has turmoil. It is very levered to the economy. It's not like gold. It's just something else that could diversify a small part of your investment portfolio.
Absolutely. And when I say about the same, it's because I've already considered it.
Yeah.
And I've never been against it. Mm-hmm. It's just probably being a little more intentional about having that exposure and how I'm comfortable or not comfortable doing so.
Very good. Maybe I gave you an idea for Christmas gifts.
You're going to give me a fractional unit of Bitcoin?
You were about to get a whole one.
Absolutely. Selling myself short. Look at me.
So we have fun. We broke down the cryptomania today. Hopefully you learned something. And if you ever want to talk about your portfolio, no, we're not going to make you own cryptocurrency. Feel free to give us a call. Go to our website, momentum-advisors.com/contact, and you can schedule time with me and Andrea.
Yep. We'll talk about it.
So keep listening. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.